Hare Krishna. So, again, we welcome you on the most auspicious occasion of Lord Balaram's appearance day, which today will also be marked by the initiation of three devotees. Two will be receiving second initiation and one first. In discussing transcendental topics, there are two considerations. One is tattva, which means ontological reality or truth, and the other is rasa, which means transcendental mellows or relationships that are experienced in lila or pastimes. So the understanding of Krishna and Balaram in terms of tattva is that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Balaram is his first expansion. But in terms of rasa or lila, Balaram is the older brother of Krishna. Ordinarily, one might think that the expansion of the original personality of Godhead should be the younger brother. But in terms of lila, there's a reason why Balaram is the older brother. And Nityananda Prabhu also is like the older brother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As many of you know, there are different ages that repeat one after the other, like the four seasons. And many millions of years ago, during Treta Yuga, Lord Krishna, you could say, appeared as Lord Ramachandra, and Balaram, you could say, appeared as his younger brother, Lakshman. As the younger brother, Lakshman had to tolerate a lot of suffering in the pastimes of Lord Ram. Of course, in terms of lila, he grew up with Lord Ram. He was his constant companion, always by his side, as his younger brother, as his servant. But after Sita was won by Lord Ram, and married to him. She thought, well, now I'm the wife, I will be the constant companion and servant. But Lakshman said, how can that be? I've always been Lord Ram's constant companion and servant. How can you just come in and change everything? So Lord Ram considered this very delicate situation and made an adjustment or a compromise, a solution, that when Lord Ram was out of his personal quarters, Lakshman would be there by his side as his servant, and when he was in his personal quarters, Sita would be his constant companion and servant. So, as many of you know, there were many reversals in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. On the eve of his coronation, his stepmother, Kaikeyi, reminded Ram's father, the king, Dasarath, that he had promised her some boons, because the king had been very sick and on the verge of death, and Kaikeyi had saved him. So she said, now I want the boons, and I want you to exile Lord Ram and to install my son Bharat as the king of Ayodhya. So this was a great shock to King Dasarath. But the rule for any civilized human being, and all the more so for Brahmins and Kshatriyas, is that once you give your word, that's final. You can't take it back. You can take my life, but you can't take my word. So he had promised the two boons, and he gave them. But then very shortly thereafter, because of the pain and the heartbreak, he left his body. So when Lord Ram was preparing to go into exile, Lakshman said, I want to accompany you. I'm your younger brother, and I want to be with you. So he said, all right. Then Sita said, I also want to accompany you. I'm your wife. It's my duty to be with you in good times and bad, and to serve you. So he said, all right, you can come. And then all the residents of Ayodhya said, we want to come too. What is the use of remaining in Ayodhya without Lord Ram? We also want to come. But Lord Ram said, if you come, what will happen to Ayodhya? There will be no one left. So you have to stay back. So the three, Ram, Sita, and Lakshman, went into the forest, and there were so many pastimes. But at a certain stage, the demon Ravana came in disguise as a sadhu and kidnapped Sita and took her to his kingdom of Lanka. And Lord Ram amassed an army of bears and monkeys and other forest creatures, and eventually they attacked Ravana and Lanka and won back Sita. But when Sita was released, Lord Ram refused to accept her. He said, "I did not fight this war to get back Sita. I cannot accept Sita because she has spent the night in another man's place." And according to the strict Vedic culture or orthodox tradition, if a girl spends the night outside of the home, she's considered to be fallen or polluted, and so Ram refused to take her back. And he instructed Lakshman to inform her. So what a painful situation for Lakshman to be in, to have to deliver this dreadful news to Sita. And the reality is that Ram loved Sita dearly, and he also wanted her to come back, so it was painful for him too. But to establish a precedent, or to establish a principle, he had Lakshman deliver this news. And then there was the test by fire. A fire was prepared, and the idea was that if Sita was unchaste, she would perish in the fire, which would purify her to give up her contaminated body. And if she was pure, then she would enter the fire and come out intact. And Lakshman was given this assignment to build up the fire, to inform Sita, to bring her to the fire, to enter. And it was a very painful, terrible situation for Lakshman to be in. Now, I should mention that the terms that we are using, such as, you know, painful, dreadful, terrible, we're not talking about the same types of phenomena that we experience in the material world. Everything in the pastimes of the Lord is transcendental and blissful. So these are actually different manifestations of bliss, but they resemble pain and misery, and so we use those terms. But actually, they're different manifestations or varieties of transcendental bliss or ecstasy. Otherwise, one might think, oh, these new initiates, they are being connected to the parampara, they're getting out of the material world, they're going back home, back to Godhead. And then you hear all this, you think, wow, going back to Godhead has as much misery and sorrow as we have here. But that's only an appearance of misery or sorrow. So, at that moment, when Lakshman had to, build up the fire and bring Sita Devi to enter it, give her the news and bring her to enter it, he resolved that never again am I going to be the younger brother. This is too much. This is too much. I wanted to make Ram happy, but I'm doing all these things that are also causing him pain. I wanted to make Sita happy, and I'm doing all these things that are causing her pain. And that is causing me pain. To see them in pain. So he decided, from now on, I'm going to appear as the older brother, and then I can serve the Lord to my heart's content and give him all sorts of happiness. So in terms of Krishna Leela, today we're specifically celebrating the appearance of Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram, again, the expansion of Krishna, first expansion of Krishna, he appeared before Krishna as the older brother. And after his appearance, the sage Garga Muni did the horoscope of Lord Balaram and said that because he will be very strong, his name will be Bala, and because he will enjoy transcendental pleasure, his name will be Rama. And he will also give strength and transcendental pleasure. And because he will unite two families, he will be known as Shankarshan. So how did Lord Balaram unite two families? He was originally to take birth from the womb of Devaki. It's a little intricate history, but anyway, he was in the womb of Devaki. But Lord Krishna, who had not even appeared, but in his unmanifest form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he ordered Yogamaya to arrange for Balaram to be transferred from the womb of Devaki into the womb of Rohini. Now Rohini was also a co-wife of Devaki, so a wife of Vasudev. But because of the atrocities of King Kamsa, Vasudev had arranged for her to take shelter in the cowherd village of Vrindavan and to be protected there by Nanda Maharaj, who was a relative of Vasudev's. But because his mother was a Vaishya, so Nanda Maharaj was considered a Vaishya. He performed the duties of a Vaishya. And Vasudev was a Kshatriya. And by Balaram's, you could say, being transferred from, you know, the royal family of Vasudev to the cowherd community and the family of Nanda, he brought together those two families, and therefore one of his names is Shankarshan. So when he left the womb of Devaki, it appeared that she had a miscarriage. And anyway, it's a very intricate, subtle discussions here, but he did take birth from the womb of Rohini in Gokul, and after he appeared, Krishna appeared. So I will read a little about the childhood pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. We are heading into Krishna Janmashtami, and the theme of Krishna Janmashtami in Dallas this year is Krishna and his cowherd friends. So I will read a few very enchanting verses about Krishna and Balaram that will lead us to a more intimate discussion of the relationship between Krishna and Balaram and what we can learn from their relationship in terms of our relationships. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we shall read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, The Killing of Dhenukasura. This is a very significant chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam because it marks the progression of Krishna and Balaram from the age of Kumara, as small children, to the age of Pauganda. And at the age of Pauganda, they were given the charge of the cows to take them out to pasture. Before then, they were considered too young or too little. They could only take care of the calves in the village. But now they were old enough to take the cows into the Vrindavan forest to pasture. And that created a whole new series of pastimes of the cowherd boys playing in the forest. And simultaneously, it created separation from Krishna and Balaram for the residents of the village who stayed back during the day. So Srimad Bhagavatam describes them going into the forest with the cows, and I'll just read the English, although the Sanskrit is very beautiful, but for the sake of time. The primeval Lord, Krishna, saw that the stately trees with their beautiful reddish buds and their heavy burden of fruits and flowers were bending down to touch his feet with the tips of their branches. Thus he smiled gently and addressed his elder brother. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "O greatest of lords, just see how these trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by the immortal demigods. The trees are offering their fruits and flowers to eradicate the darkness of ignorance that has caused their birth as trees. O original personality, these bees must all be great sages and most elevated devotees of yours, for they are worshipping you by following you along the path and chanting your glories, which are themselves a holy place for the entire world. Though you have disguised yourself within this forest, O sinless one, they refuse to abandon you, their worshipable Lord. O worshipable one, these peacocks are dancing before you out of joy. These does are pleasing you with affectionate glances, just as the gopis do. And these cuckoos are honoring you with Vedic prayers. All the residents of the forest are most fortunate, and their behavior certainly befits great souls receiving another great soul at home. This earth has now become most fortunate because you have touched her grass and bushes with your feet and her trees and creepers with your fingernails, and because you have graced her rivers, mountains, birds, and animals with your merciful glances. But above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women with your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself." So here Lord Krishna is glorifying his older brother as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But a few verses later, we find in text 14, when his elder brother, fatigued from playing, would lie down with his head upon the lap of a cowherd boy, Lord Krishna would help him relax by personally massaging his feet and offering other services. And the purport says the word Pada Samvahanadibi indicates that Lord Krishna would massage Balaram's feet, fan him, and bring him river water to drink. So, in this relationship between the older brother and the younger brother, there is a mutual exchange of appreciation and glorification and service. Krishna wants to serve Balaram, and Balaram wants to serve Krishna. It is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ekala Ishwara Krishna Arda Sambhritya, that only Krishna is the Supreme Lord and all others are his servant. So even Lord Balaram has the sentiment of being the servant of Lord Krishna. He's very happy to be the servant of Lord Krishna. But Krishna also likes to serve his devotees. It's mutual, it's reciprocal. And in the case of Lord Balaram, who's the elder brother, he has more reason to serve him in terms of their transcendental relationship, because the older brother has a friendly relationship, Sakya, but also an element of parental affection or vatsalya. So generally among brothers and sisters, and we refer to spiritual brothers and sisters, God brothers and God sisters, we can learn from Krishna and Balaram how to enjoy life together in mutual appreciation, each desiring to serve the other and please the other. One year, His Holiness Satchinandan Swami spent the month of Kartik at Radhakund and was undergoing a very, you could say, severe namvrat. He had made a vow to chant so many rounds per day. It's sort of the rule that one doesn't disclose one's vow, because otherwise one might become proud, oh, I'm chanting so many rounds or doing so much austerity. And people may also praise, oh, you're chanting so many rounds, you're being so austere, and then that just creates false ego or aggravates false ego. But he was doing a lot, and he hardly had time to eat or sleep. He may have even had vows related to eating and sleeping, but he hardly had time. And what to speak of talking. But still, he was generous and kind and made a time for the two of us to talk together a little one day. And he described his experience with his Namvrat. He had come to Radhakund to enter into the nectar of the holy name, and he felt that he had come to the door of the palace of the holy name, but that he was not being allowed to enter, and he was very distressed. He was not being given access to the nectar of the holy name. And he didn't know what to do. He described that under ordinary circumstances in society, in ISKCON, one can divert one's attention in so many ways. There's so many devotees, you have social interactions, there's so much service, you can keep yourself busy in so many activities. And you never have to confront the reality of your relationship with the holy name. But here he had no distractions, no diversions. It was just him and the holy name. And he felt he had come to the door. He was knocking on the door, but the door was not opening. So what to do? So then he thought he must do some humble service. Sevan mukhi hi jiva dau swayam eva spuratyata, that when one engages in service, Krishna reveals himself. So he thought, I have to do some humble service. What will be a humble service? He thought, okay, I will clean the kund. I will clean the walkways and just the whole area around the kund, which is a very menial service. You go to White Rock Lake, they have all sorts of programs, summer spruce up, to get volunteers to come and clean up. But it's unfortunate that almost everywhere you look, there's some empty water bottle, plastic bottle, can of from some soft drink, or a bottle of alcohol, and papers and cups, and it's discouraging. And you think, well, you know, someone should clean up, but then who's going to clean up? It's like it's a type of menial service. Everyone thinks it's beneath them. You know, in India, people still sweep with brooms, sweepers, but that, you know, there's the machines. You have machines for everything here. You know, no one wants to get their hands dirty. And if the machine can't do it, then, well, it's not going to get done because no one wants to dirty their hands. So Satchinanda Swami thought, all right, let me sweep Radhakund, the area around Radhakund. But then he thought, if anyone sees me, they'll come up and say, oh, that is such a nice service you're doing, sweeping the pathways around Radhakund and cleaning up. And then again, the whole point will be lost. It won't be humble service. Then the pride will come, oh, I'm doing great service, everyone's recognizing me. So he thought, I have to do this when no one else is awake, when no one is there to see me. So he would do it about, I'll say, maybe between 12:30 and 1:30 in the morning, something like that, when there was no one there to see him. And that
worked.
That humble service worked, and then the holy name allowed him some entry and reciprocated with his efforts. And then he brought up another topic which relates to our discussion of Krishna and Balaram, which was the need for more advanced association. Srila Rupa Goswami describes the five most potent items of devotional service, and one of them is sadhu sangha. And he gives the definition of sadhu sangha as svatovare, one who is more advanced than you. So it's always been there. It was there then, and it's probably there now, and it will always be there, probably. That someone thinks that to get that advanced association, they have to go outside of ISKCON, get that sadhu sangha. And many devotees have done so, and I'm sure in the future they will. Even during Srila Prabhupada's time, some individuals thought they had to leave him to get higher knowledge. So but there's a problem with that. There's a problem with that, which is that those sadhus who are not following in Srila Prabhupada's line will give a presentation of the philosophy and practices of Krishna consciousness that may be in some ways, or almost necessarily will be in some ways, different from Srila Prabhupada's. And on a higher spiritual level, there's the question of what is the person's destination, what is his ultimate destination. So Sachinanda and Swami and many of our God brothers at the time had the same thought, that they don't want to go outside of ISKCON or outside of Srila Prabhupada's line for sadhu sangha. But then how do you get sadhu sangha? Because we're all peers. We're all, you know, more or less the same age, same background, same learning. We're not finding people, you know, 20 years older than us who know Sanskrit and Bengali and have been you know, Vaishnavas from their birth, or whatever the criteria are. But Sachinanda Swami said that conception of being peers is only external, but internally every devotee will feel that the other is his prabhu, his master, his superior, and that he can learn from him. And Sachinanda Swami gave the example related to us, you know, that in a way he and I are peers, but Girirad Swami isn't thinking that, oh, I'm equal to Sachinanda Swami. He's thinking, no, Sachinanda Swami is superior to me, I can learn from him. I should serve him, which was exactly what I was thinking. And then Satchinandan Swami said of himself, and I'm thinking that Giriraj Swami, because this is not to be taken literally, but I'm thinking that Giriraj Swami is superior to me, and I can learn from him, and I should serve him. And in that mood of seeing the other devotees as one superior, or Prabhu, and feeling that one should serve them and learn from them, one can fulfill that injunction to have sadhu sangha. And at the same time, the relationships become very sweet and harmonious. Like Krishna and Balarams, they exemplify this mood. Each one glorifying the other and wanting to serve the other. But still, Balaram is the older brother, and he's known popularly in Vrindavan as Dauji, which means the older brother. Now, I would like to relate this thought to His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, who was also the older brother. He liked being the older brother to his god brothers and god sisters. And he was. I mean, in terms of seniority, he was certainly older than almost all of the other disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And he, you know, he was in that mood. It was like friendship, sakya, with some parental or vatsalya. But of course, internally, there was always that mutual respect, appreciation, and mood of service. And that idea that he had so many, well, a number of devotees who he considered to be his Shiksha Guru. And I'm sure practically everyone in that list of his Shiksha Gurus considered him to be their Shiksha Guru. That was the relationship. So now, has your brother come? Okay, just making sure. So now this ceremony today, like so many ceremonies, so many occasions, is an occasion of great happiness and joy. But for devotees connected with Tamal Krishna Goswami, there's always an element of separation. That I wish he could have been here for this occasion. Of course, in a general sense, when you're swinging Radha Govinda, it would be nice if he were here to enjoy this occasion. And sitting where I am today, I definitely feel he should have been here. But but we continue in the mood of service. We have no choice, really. But in the mood of continuing his his work, if you will, I thought I would read some words that he spoke at an initiation ceremony about 15 years ago in Houston on Bhima Ekadasi. I think it was May 28th. At that time, he accepted for second initiation a disciple of His Holiness Gaura Govinda Swami Maharaj named Indranuja Prabhu. And he spoke about his own mood in relation to giving second initiation to Indranuja Prabhu. And this is an excerpt from his talk. Speaking of Indranuja Prabhu, he has approached me to take shelter of me because of the very close relationship I have with his Guru Maharaj, and I also have with him. I shall do my utmost to always fulfill the work of his Guru Maharaj for him. I think that he, Indranuja Prabhu, has full faith that by assisting and serving me, it will not be different from serving his Guru Maharaj. I consider that he approached me for this as a very good example for all of Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj's disciples to see. And we shall show a very nice example for them to see. So this example that Tamal Krishna Goswami wanted to show of the relationship between a first initiated disciple of a god brother approaching him for second initiation establishes a principle that he exemplified during his own life in a way taking shelter of god brothers and taking instruction or advice, taking advice from god brothers. And his disciple Balaram Das from the Philippines, who's now in Los Angeles, had a dream or vision, let's say a dream, before he received the news that Tamal Krishna Goswami had left after the automobile accident. Well, actually not after, but and in this dream Tamal Krishna Goswami was telling him that he had to go now. And Balaram was begging him, no, please don't go, you can't go, please stay. He said, no, I have to go now. And then Balaram said something to the effect, well, what will we do when you're not here? And Tamal Krishna Goswami indicated that if you serve my god brothers, I will be pleased. So this is it's a principle, it's a theme in Tamal Krishna Goswami's life of devotional service. He commented at the time that Srila Prabhupada was leaving or left, that Srila Prabhupada showed us the example, the perfect example in every sphere. You know, he showed us how to live, he showed us how to die. He's the perfect example in every respect. But the one thing he didn't show us was how to deal with God brothers, because none of his God brothers joined him. And by extension, he didn't show us how his disciples would deal with his God brothers if they were working cooperatively with him. But Tamal Krishna Goswami has shown that by his example. Very important principle and very significant example. Then Tamal Krishna Goswami continues, I'm very happy to have this. Now he's speaking to Indranuja Prabhu. I'm very happy to have this connection with you, because I consider that we will always serve Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj together through this relationship. That is my mood. So I'm grateful that my God brother, my very, very exalted and dear God brother, is present with me through his disciple, and now formally through this connection. So this is definitely how we feel in this situation. Then he says, at the same time, addressing Indranuja Prabhu, you will feel as if you are my disciple. And I'm sure all of the other devotees will love you just as a God brother. Means they would accept him as their God brother. And if you wonder, how can that be? It can be. Just like Srila Prabhupada's sister was initiated by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, first initiated, and given second initiation by a disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, whose name was Goswami Maharaj. Actually, his full name was Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj, but he was known as Goswami Maharaj. And we have some examples of that. Just like Dharashaya Das and Mukunda Dutta Prabhu, they took first initiation from Srila Prabhupada, and they took second initiation from me. And they feel as if they have relationships with both persons. This is true. I also feel I have a relationship with Tamal Krishna Goswami because I took sannyas from him. Now, some people may say, well, sannyas is a formality, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas from a Maya body. But actually, it's a connection. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada was discussing forming some trust, this was just a little before he left, when he was discussing forming some trust to protect the properties, he was proposing that there should be at least three trustees for each major property. And so for Vrindavan, someone suggested Bhagatji, who was sort of like a friend of Prabhupada's, and he lived near the Krishna Balaram temple. And Prabhupada said, he's not my disciple. He cannot be a trustee. The devotee said, but he's already initiated by some other guru. And Prabhupada said, then he can take sannyas from me. So, yes. Just like Dharashaya Das and Mukunda Dutta Prabhu, they took first initiation from Srila Prabhupada and they took second initiation from me. And they feel as if they have relationships with both persons. Krishna consciousness is not so limited that we can have only one relationship. But each is special in its own way. And one should not cancel out the other. But they're both maintained in their own unique and harmonious way at the same time. So, there's much that could be said, but I will just say very briefly about the idea of the two working together for the same goal. You know, the one in the mood of service to the other. That's the principle of Guru Parampara. But at the same time, because we're all individuals, we have our own individual personalities, and we have our own individual personal relationships. So even though the basic message is the same, and the purpose is the same, the cause is the same, but there will be that individual flavor of each individual person and the unique relationship between the unique individual persons. So then, at this same ceremony, one young lady named Jai Sri Chasmawala got first initiation. And I will read some excerpts. There's more to it, but not wanting to embarrass her too much. Oh, and if she wouldn't be embarrassed, not wanting to inflate her too much, I won't read too much, but I will read a little. Because this, the other one combined Goswami Maharaj's mood as a servant of his godbrother. And in this one, he talks about his mood as a servant of the parents and family of the devotee. Very beautiful. Okay, Jai Shri. Here is a very auspicious girl. Actually, I never thought of this before. Of course, now I'm going to get inflated myself. But when soon after I joined the Boston Temple, a lot of things happened. We moved from a very small storefront into a large mansion, and the Sankirtan, which was almost negligible when I came, it became very active, and devotees were distributing so many magazines, mainly BTGs, and it really developed. It's like really flourishing. And then When Srila Prabhupada came to visit, I guess Satsvarupa was the temple president, was giving some sort of report, and Srila Prabhupada said, "Giriraj is auspicious." So, I don't know how true it is, but at least we can say that your spiritual master said you were auspicious, and mine said that I'm auspicious. Okay, Jai Shri. Here is a very auspicious girl. She is a very good university student. We are praying that she can gradually follow in the footsteps of Guru Bhakti. I want that one day there should be a whole line of lady doctors. Now, coincidentally, sitting next to Jai Shri Radhe is Bhaktin Laura, who will be getting her first initiation today, and she's a doctor. So there's a whole a short line, but there's a whole line of lady doctors. We're going back now to his speaking of Jai Shri. But if you think it applies to you, it's okay, because I'm sure that he didn't think of that only in terms of her, but he certainly did. He said, "She is so charming, very qualified girl. I'm really happy that you are here. And your brothers are also here. Here's one of them with a camera. There is Dipesh. I wish that you men will follow the example of your sister and one day get initiated also." What do you think? It's just like the last time. Silent. "I want you to know that their family fully approved of this initiation. I made them call. What did your parents say?" And then, "Did you answer?" And Jai Shri Radhe says, "They were really happy, but they really wanted to be here." So now, in that mood of continuation, Jai Shri's mother is here. She couldn't come the first time, but she's here. Which is very important for her and her daughter and the whole family and all of us. And I should mention that in the meantime, her father took initiation and became Haricharan Das, and he. In my estimation, I think it's pretty clear to everyone, he became very advanced in Krishna consciousness, very exalted in Krishna consciousness. And the general feeling or consensus is that, I mean, it was so, in a way it was obvious. He had no attachments to the material world. I mean, he loved his family, but as a devotee who wanted their spiritual welfare more than anything else. And he was detached, but it wasn't a negative sort of detachment. It was sort of the detachment that comes when you're being called away for another purpose. And he definitely felt that he was being called, and that it was time to go, and he wanted to be initiated before he left. And so he is really, you know, my service, if you wish to say, to Jai Shri Radhe and to all of her family members, are in the mood of service to her father, who's a very, not only her father, but a very exalted devotee, who's attained a very auspicious destination. And Haricharan's mother, Jai Shri Radhe's grandmother, is also a very pious lady, very spiritual lady. And she also had a very deep connection with Srila Gurudev, with Tamal Krishna Goswami. Even though she couldn't speak English that well, but they really understood each other very well and on a very deep level. And they were really close. And I was very impressed with her. She was very pious. When she was a young girl, I think, just newly married, I think, some sadhu, some guru from some sampradaya came, and she basically dropped everything and was just serving that sadhu, that guru. So that was in her from the very beginning, to serve saintly persons, to chant the holy names, to read scriptures. She was like naturally Krishna conscious. And then she gave birth to Haricharan, and he and his wife Banu gave birth to Jai Shri and the other family members. So that line of piety and devotion is continuing both through the biological family and through the parampara, the succession of saintly persons. So then Tamal Krishna Goswami continues about her parents. They wanted to be here. That was the only thing. They were unhappy they could not be here to see their daughter initiated. So always be assured, whatever the parents will do for their children, I will do at least that. And if I can do more, I will do more. I always think with the interests of the parents. And you'll never find that it is not so. Be assured of that. So this is very significant, the importance of the parents, and especially in a family where the parents are pious, where they're devotees. Haricharan was a superlative devotee. But in general, the parents will have the best interest of the children in mind, and if they're devotees, they'll have their spiritual interest in mind. And Jagshree's parents' approval of her initiation in the first place shows that they had her spiritual interests at heart. And she is auspicious because she's brought Krishna consciousness very deeply into the family. In fact, not to go too far here, but Hari Charan had a parrot named Shyam. And you know how it is, pretty much the other family members were busy, and it was really Hari Charan that gave attention to the parrot, and he would spend time and talk to the parrot and play with the parrot. And after Hari Charan left, the parrot was in severe separation. It was really feeling the loss of Hari Charan Prabhu. But the line continues. Jai Shri Radhe has taken Shyam under her wing. Something, someone's taken someone. And now she's chanting for Shyam and feeding him and taking care of him. So that line of care, spiritual care and physical care, is continuing. So here Tamal Krishna Goswami is saying he's also in that line of care of the parents for the child, especially Jai Shri Radhe's parents for her. Yes. I always think with the interest of the parents. And you'll never find that it is not so. Be assured of that. I understand very much how attached Indian parents are to their children. And I know that everything they want for their children, I want the same thing and more. So very, very wonderful, beautiful. And true. He spoke the truth. As always. So now, yes.
I also wanted to say something about that auspiciousness that you're talking about. His grandmother's birthday and disappearance.
Yes, and that is true. That Jai Shri Radhe's grandmother, Hari Charan's mother, was born, or appeared on Lord Balaram's appearance day, and she left, disappeared on Lord Balaram's appearance day. Hari Bol. And Balaram's the original spiritual master. So it's like we're all bound up together by so many threads or strands or ropes of spiritual love and connections. So we remember her too. She was very, very pious, devotional, spiritual lady. As they say, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. So Hari Charan didn't fall far from his mother, and Jai Shri Radhe hasn't fallen far from her father and mother. And so that makes us think the brothers too aren't so far Yeah. Only time is separating. So would anyone else like to add anything, or so we're dividing this ceremony into two parts because of the fire ceremony not being suitable for the temple room for different practical reasons. Oh my gosh, I didn't give the initiation lecture. all right, well, it was an initiation lecture, but we didn't discuss the 10 offenses. And I think that we'll have to leave that discussion for later. But I'll say very briefly that, Bhakti Nilora is being given first initiation, Harinam, the chanting of the holy name. And the holy name of Krishna is Krishna himself, Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. So we should treat the holy name as if we are dealing with Krishna, which we are. And in fact, all the offenses can be understood if you appreciate that the holy name is Krishna. And then so if you blaspheme Krishna's devotees, Krishna will be, you won't like it. If you equate the demigods with Krishna, you won't like it. It shows you're not understanding his position. But at the same time, you shouldn't disrespect the demigods. That would also be offensive. And the spiritual master must obey the instructions of the spiritual master who's giving you the holy name, who's the representative of Krishna, the servant of Krishna, not to have faith and reverence in the scriptures or to blaspheme them or minimize them. And so on. But the one that I'll just, well, they're all important really, but is chanting with attention. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if you chant with attention, all the other offenses will be eradicated. And if you chant inattentively, you give scope to the other offenses to flourish. So it's not easy to chant with attention, but if you just make the effort, then you have come to the clearing stage. If you make the consistent effort to bring your mind back to the holy name, then you're counted to be in the clearing stage, and by definition, the clearing stage means the anarthas will be cleared, and then eventually you can progress to the pure stage. And second initiation, the candidate who receives second initiation is eligible to render direct service to the deities. The idea is Krishna is Brahman, is the supreme Brahman. And so to serve the supreme Brahman, you have to be on the Brahman platform. mam cha yogya vicharine bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samachitaityam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who is constantly engaged in devotional service without deviation, he very quickly transcends the modes of material nature and comes to the platform of Brahman. So Jai Shri Radhe has shown her steadiness over the last 15 years. She's also shown her unsteadiness, but her steadiness has prevailed. And therefore she is being awarded Brahman initiation. And we are confident that she will fulfill that definition of being steady and unfailing, and thus she will be allowed to touch the deity. An ordinary person can't just touch the deity. You have to be qualified, you have to be purified. So by the process of devotional service, by chanting the holy name for so many years, studying the scriptures, serving the devotees, she's been purified and she's shown her steadiness. So now I guess the proper thing would be to call the initiates forward. There's one, and then we'll move up to the hall for the fire ceremony. So Bhakti and Laura, you can begin, offer obeisances to the deities and then to Srila Prabhupada and to Mal Krishna Goswami, and then here. And in the meantime, we can all chant.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, Bhakti and Laura, what are the four regulative principles that you vow to follow?
No eating, no gambling, no intoxication, and no intoxication.
And how many rounds will you chant?
16 at least, and 25 in the first.
Very good. And is there anything else you would like to say before the deities and the Vaishnavas? Your name is Lalita Sakhi Dasi. So now we will go upstairs for the fire ceremony. But first we will do one more thing. There is a young devotee here named Brandon, or Brandy, who will be studying in the Gurukul, or in the TKG Academy. And his mother requested a spiritual nickname for him. So this is not initiation or anything. I mean, he'll have to wait for that. But it's just to give him a spiritual name so that by calling his name, people will be reminded of Krishna and become purified. They'll make advancement. So I thought, Brandy, do you want to stand up so people know who we're talking about?
Yeah.
So I thought we could give him the spiritual nickname, Balaram.
Yeah.
It's very appropriate because it's Lord Balaram's appearance day, and his name began with B, and often the guru will give a name that begins with the same initial. And because there's so many connections, there's even another connection, and that is that Lord Balaram used to like to get intoxicated on the Varuni beverage. And brandy is also the name of an intoxicating beverage. And there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Rasoham Apsukonte, which is generally translated, I am, Krishna says, I am the taste in water. But literally it can be translated, I am the taste in liquid things. And Srila Prabhupada said, if you're a drunkard and you're drinking alcohol and you think that Krishna is the taste of the liquor, you also make advancement. So, not that anyone here would, but if anyone happens to think of brandy, the drink, you can think of Balaram, how he would get intoxicated on the Varuni beverage, and you'll become purified even while thinking of brandy. So this is the immense causeless mercy of the Lord, that we are all bound together with so many ropes of love that will and Srila Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, the whole parampara are pulling. They've captured us in their net and now they're pulling us along back home, back to God. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Gurudev ki jai. Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandini. Hare Krishna.